When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Of all these opinions, this is the one that continues to blindside me, dumbfound me, gobsmack me, thunderstrike me.
Just blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy.
Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
This is the Overreaction Podcast. I am Chase, and with me, as always, my man Cody, who just finished a lovely weekend of grinding through the Combine, live with DD. Great show. Absolute blast to be participating with, you know, through the chat. You guys were just so entertaining, so on point. Tell me about your weekend, man.
It was an absolute blast, man. I wasn't there for the full thing, but 5 hours and 45 minutes, I think, straight for me, basically on there, other than running up to let the dog outside or get the dog food and then coming back and just sitting there with all the guys on the DD stream, man. It was an absolute blast just watching the Combine, kind of like what we did with our Draft Spectacular stream from last year that we're going to look forward to this year, especially because, I mean, we got 500 people in a building just to watch a damn Combine. I can't imagine what we're going to be doing whenever it's the draft stream for 3 days straight. Every single pick of the NFL draft, I believe we will be live. I might be on there for every damn pick. I don't know. We'll see if my body can hold out for that long. But no, it was a hell of a lot of fun. Honestly, I might still be catching back up on just sitting in a chair for that long for one time. Body still might be catching up a little bit from this weekend, and then immediately going into watching guys like Garendo that were the standouts. And so just immediately diving back into more film analysis and crunching all of the numbers for RAS scores and everything. So no, great combine. We got record setting as well. So it was an absolute blast of a weekend.
Yeah. So we'll get into just everyone's talking about the combine. Everyone's going to be talking about the combine and what happened there and their recap and the highs and the lows. We're going to touch on some quick things there, but we're going to get into some other newsworthy things as we get into the actual NFL offseason cycles. That's about to boom. But I just want to, again, big shout out to Destination Heavy. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel so that you are getting notified of everything that's going on. And make sure you tap into destinationdevy.com, where you have access to the war tool, the war tools, the Trinity tools, anything and everything that you could possibly want. Cody's articles, Ty's articles, Scott and Shane, everyone dropping articles every single week. Gump's still out dropping Devy content for you as well. So make sure you tap into destinationdevy.com, patreon.com/allgas. If you are in that Heisman tier or the Destination 5 tier, that is the place to be. That is where you're going to have nonstop access to all of the content creators, additional, you know, private AMAs, voice chat, and just the ability to really tap into anyone and everyone and truly take your fantasy and dynasty fantasy football game to the next level. So just wanted to give a big shout out there. Make sure you are part of the Patreon if you can do that. Again, patreon.com/allgas. So jumping into just quick takeaway, what was the kind of the biggest thing of note, or what was the one thing that really stood out to you from the combine this weekend?
I mean, the one thing that we got to talk first and foremost is Xavier Worthy out there, right? Breaking the John Ross 4.22 record, tying it at the beginning on the second run, going out for a second run, because he certainly didn't have to after posting a 4.25. He could have just said, no, I'm done. But no, man goes out there, competes. He wants the record, runs the 4.22, and then the excitement after it gets corrected to the 4.21 as well. We get the record set for the 40-yard dash time. Absolutely awesome. I don't care if you don't think the combine matters or the 40 time matters. Like, that's just cool to see in itself. Now, takeaway for fantasy, does it really matter? No, it probably doesn't. We already knew he was fast. We don't need to double count him because he's the fastest to ever do it. And some people will tell you it's a negative because he was so fast. I don't think that's the exact reason. A lot of those guys who were outside of like the John Ross and like the Henry Ruggs, which there's some different situations there for why he didn't really work out. A lot of those guys were like fourth to seventh rounders. That's not Xavier Worthy. So I still like him a lot. Don't double count it, but he could easily be inside the first round now. A lot of people are going to say he could even go top 15 now after posting that speed. Ooh. So he's a lock to go in the top 50 picks, though, and probably even top 40. And some people will say a lot higher than that. So definitely on the radar, but more cool just to see for a combine aspect than it really means for anything fantasy.
Absolutely. Anytime you see like records getting broken, that's always fun to see. Always fun to watch and see the reaction. Yeah, I know that there is a lot of negative correlation is what people are going to say based on the 40 times because all of the other fast guys have not been very good. But I do think there's a little bit more to Xavier Worthy's game than just straight line speed. So hopefully everything works out for him. My biggest takeaway, just kind of keeping it with fast wide receivers, is this whole entire wide receiver class. I mean, I know people, I'm going to just mention, you know, Franklin as a name, because it's like, he did okay. Like, he didn't really exceed anything. But when you're comparing him to guys that ran like 4.2, 4.34, you know, Brian Thomas going out there running a 4.3, 4.40 at his size, you know, Rome, everyone was a burner. Ladd McConkey breaking 4.3. Like, every single person out there was just absolutely burning and just showing out from the wide receiver group. We always thought this was a really deep wide receiver class. And I think that was just, I guess, confirmation that there's some talent coming out from the combine here.
Fully confirmed, man. Like, whenever you're talking about Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman being the losers, and they didn't really do anything all that bad. Like, Troy Franklin just didn't run a 4.3, and Keon Coleman just didn't run a 4.5. Other than that, and then Keon Coleman on the on-field drills was actually very good as well. Like, if those are your two biggest losers out of 45 wide receivers that we saw out there, it's a class that's legitimately like 20-25 deep. It's wild.
It's nuts. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Coleman, like in his gauntlet run, he ran the fastest miles per hour straight line across the field. It was like over 20 miles an hour in the gauntlet drill. Franklin, everyone knocked him because he looked like, you know, he was a little wavy on his gauntlet.
A little wavy is a, yeah, that's an understatement.
He was on the ocean on that one. He was
riding the currents,
riding the wave. But yeah, now again, I think it's very nitpicky. It's individual drills. And yes, can't sit here and say this stuff doesn't matter, but it's not this like make or break, like, oh my gosh, Troy Franklin didn't run a 4.4 like the rest of these guys. Get him out of here. Gotta go. You gotta be a sub 4.4 guy. So yeah, take it with a grain of salt. Yes, it's more information. It's you know, things that you want to add to the process and make some improvements. There definitely were some risers and some fallers from the combine as well. I know Garindo is the big running back riser, of course. Everyone now knows who Jalen Wright is. So it's like, yeah, there are some people on notice, but I think more than anything, this wide receiver class was just confirmation that it is very good. It is very deep. Now we need to see what kind of draft capital correlates to this and where these landing spots are, what kind of opportunity is going to come from this. Anything else you want to bring up from the combine?
I mean, just talk a little bit of the running backs. You talked about two of the, I think, the bigger risers from the weekend, and that's going to be Isaac Garindo, who nobody even knew how to pronounce his name on the stream. that's how little we knew of him, and it's because he's the third best running back on Louisville, but we'll get into that a little bit more later, potentially. And then the other one, obviously, Jalen Wright running that. He's going to be my RB1 now in the class, which is pretty cool to see Jalen Wright go all the way up there. And then the two fallers, I guess we'll pump them up as well, or slow them down, I guess would be the correct way to say it, because Bucky Irving and Audric Estime are the two that people are going to take as their fallers from the day. Again, 40 times, you'd like to see them check a little bit better of a box, so they're going to fall down. But even like you said with the wide receivers, we're deep at running back too here. Honestly, I think my biggest running back loser was Dylan Johnson from the day, because I actually kind of liked him, and then he just didn't show any athleticism for the type of game that he plays at, so... I think even running back is pretty deep as well, at least within the top 8 or 9 guys.
Yeah, it feels like it was confirmed that this class is what it is. It's a bunch of, I don't say they're guys, but there's no true elite standout, like, oh my gosh, this is the next Saquon Barkley. But we got some really good contributors, you know, scheme fits, role players, things like that. Sure, there could be a situation where I think maybe, you know, Brooks, Wright, Corum, right situations, those guys could be, you know, big time fantasy contributors. Braylon Allen had brick hands in his drills. It wasn't impressive. You know, no one really pushed themselves into this like next level tier besides, like, you know, Garindo putting a his name on the map, and then Jalen Wright kind of exceeding expectations, and I guess showing everybody really what he can do. I shouldn't say exceeding expectations. You had him as RB3 pre-process, so that just pushed
some
him
people's expectations. You had him out like RB10, you know.
Hey, you know what? It is what it is, you know. So sometimes you live and learn. But again, new information, time to grow and adapt, and especially with the running back position.
Just realized that was a shot at you a little bit, but I did not mean
it. You know, it's cool. It's cool. You know what? It is what it is. Yeah. Just taking shots here. I am the stray catcher. Like, that's just how it is. But yeah, some people had him unranked. Anyways. Anything else from the combine? I think that kind of covers it. There was a little JJ McCarthy knock here or there. We saw Penix play, you know, throw well. Obviously, the bomb from Milton, that's all he can do is throw deep balls, is what it appears. Anything else really kind of stand out for you?
No, I think if you want more just about the actual players that were on the field and the breakdowns of all of their 40 times the RAS scores, I mean, if you want to break down tight ends outside of, you know, the Theo Johnson's perfect RAS score, go back to Wake Up. Jay Rich and Ray did a fantastic job breaking all of that stuff down on Monday. We're going to move into more of like the news and notes around the combine, because this is just a basically bachelorette party for the NFL, where all of these people just get together, have drinks, talk about stuff, and it's just a rumor mill fascination. And this is honestly the part that I like more than even just watching all the testing, is seeing all of the news that comes out from in and around the combine, when all of these big wig NFL people are all together at the same spot for a weekend. It can create a lot of lying season. It can create a lot of rumors. It can create you can start to leverage and position yourself and not really tamper, but already kind of start tampering with some stuff in the NFL side of things. And it does actually end up impacting us for fantasy and dynasty fantasy football. So important to keep your ear to the ground on all this stuff and try to disseminate what's true and what's real and what's not.
So just to touch on some potential real things, I'm just going to cover two things that are non-fantasy related currently, but could be impactful down the line. New kickoff rule being proposed, as well as an 18-game season. I'm just going to touch the 18-game season real quick. Not really a possibility anytime soon. The NFL's wanted this before that, when it was even 16 games. They tried to go from 16 to 18, and they settled for 17. So I just don't see this happening anytime soon. Do you?
If they wanted to take the time and the effort and an entire offseason to rework another CBA before it's up, they could do it. But with the media right contract, I think that was reset in like 2020 during right around COVID times. So that's another like 10-year contract. They'll have to get together with the NFLPA and owners and rework the entire CBA to do it. So it'll be difficult to see it anytime within the next couple of years, but I think it will actually happen before like the full contract runs out. So expect it to kind of start hearing the narrative of it each and every offseason, but I don't think we're getting there yet.
Honestly, it's like if the players want to get some leverage back and try and get some other things on their side, this might be the piece. It's like, hey, you want 18 games? All right, give us this. And maybe they can renegotiate now prior to, I think it's 2030. So
I hope not, though, because they're already talking about, one, we probably have 2 weeks of bye weeks for each team. You probably have an overseas game. And they're talking about a guaranteed load management game where you can't play all 18 games. So I honestly kind of hope we don't get there.
Yeah, we're going to get to 18 games one way or another, unfortunately. So the other thing that could be or should be happening a lot sooner is the tweaks to the NFL kickoff. Parts of this I liked, parts of this I absolutely hated. And so, just kind of touching on first things first, the new kickoff proposal, this is as early as next year?
Yes. Yeah. Could be implemented this year.
This upcoming season. Yes. Yeah. So 2024. Kicking off, kicking it through the end zone, the touchback is now going out to the 35. I'd be okay with that just because I want to see some kickoffs, but so that's the part that doesn't really impact me. It's the squib kick, it's the onside kick, the announcing that you have to, like what you're actually doing. There's no element of surprise. I'm not sure that I really enjoy anything.
No, it's for me. I don't think we go to the 4th and 15 onside thing. I think we rework the onside and the squib one. It's interesting, but it's actually bigger on the kickoff because you'd get it at the 35, but you're pooch kicking basically everything. So basically you have to return everything because everything's going to be in the field of play.
And there's no fair catches.
Right. And we're assuming if they do this, the fair catch won't be brought to the 35 because you can fair catch within the field right now. Remove that. So basically you have a shorter field with less high impact collisions, but everyone is returned unless, just like kicking it out of bounds, it goes to the 35, kicking through the back of the end zone also goes to the 35. So everyone, you at least get a play, is basically the thought of it. I like it. I actually think this is probably the best one I've seen, much better than the XFL one. I just don't want to see the kickoff gone. And I know we can't go back to the original way that it was whenever you could just like sign up and say, hey, yeah, like I know it's a dangerous play. Like that's what I wish would happen, but I know that's not feasible. So this is honestly the best one that I've seen. So I kind of hope we end up going with this one, at least as a test year.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see it play out. I'm okay with it. Like I'm not super excited about it really. Shorter fields, sure. I do like kickoffs, I think, is part of it. But the way freak athletes are these days and the way coaches are, like, they're going to find ways to just clobber people. And I know there's going to be, you know, you have to do it within the rules of the game and, you know, can't be out there spearing guys and stuff like that. No targeting calls, but it's eventually going to adapt and the game's going to change to a point where it's like, they're still going to be out there with hard hits, with collisions. It's like, does it make that big of a difference? Like, does it really make that big of a difference? Or on the flip side, do teams even care that much that they, if they kick it out of the end zone, they take it at the 35? Like, is that big of a deal for teams where that 10 yards of field position is like, man, that's make or break for us. Like that 10 yards.
It does matter. The percentages get stupidly higher just for that, by those 10 yards, just to score a field goal. So, interesting. It's very niche, at least in its fantasy football implications. But if you have punt return, kick return yard, and you're returning every single one of them out, you can actually potentially use some of these kick return guys that could actually have a little bit higher value. Incredibly niche, but a cool thing just around the NFL game, more so than fantasy, but could actually have a little bit of an impact on our leagues as well.
All right. So then, bum, 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 onto the news. I knew you didn't want me to do that. All right, let's get into the news here. Obviously, Jason Kelce, let's just start off with the players that are no longer in the league. Jason Kelce has retired officially, even though we knew he was going to retire. It is official. Yes, there's not an exact fantasy impact for Jason Kelce. However, it does impact the team a little bit because he is probably the best center in football right now, or was the best center in football. Impact for you as far as this Eagles offense?
I mean, the impact was immediate today whenever I was watching the press conference while I was at work and trying not to just start bawling out for this man who was sitting there crying and like couldn't even get through two sentences within the first 5 minutes and was continuously breaking down. And I'm like just watching one of the greats who's been here longer than I've probably even been watching football almost, at least like really in depth with the NFL football. So that was tough to watch, but it does actually have a dynasty fantasy football impact. I think a lot more than people are going to see. Tush push is the biggest thing for me. Like, we've seen this play get used to perfection, and Jason Kelce, I think, is honestly a bigger factor of that than even Jalen Hurts is. I actually think this could significantly hamper that play. We'll see if they have somebody else in the line to really step in like that. But Jason Kelce, I think, was the biggest the biggest part of why that play was what it was. So could actually see a little bit of a downtick for the Eagles, and the Eagles are kind of looking like a floundering team as well right now. So maybe a little bit decrease to all of the Eagles and especially Jalen Hurts. That's my impact of that one.
Yeah, I do think the offensive line doesn't get enough credit for the impact they have on a team and their fantasy results as well, as far as run game, pass game, etc. I do think the tush push is a good note. I love the fact that you pointed that out. And just the run game as a whole, like, you know, he was the most versatile center. They had a very good line. It is going to create a problem. We'll see how they fill that void in free agency, the draft, etc. But it's still Philly. I still feel like they'll find a way to stop the flood from up the middle. So we shall see how big of an impact that does have. Let's get into your boy hanging on the wall there, Mike Evans. There was talk of him hitting free agency. Bucks not going to negotiate. Sounds like they caved to his needs, or maybe there's a nice little compromise here, but was it 2 years, $52 million, $26 million a year?
Correct.
Good for Mike Evans.
I love to see it, man. Obviously, it'd be cool to see him go to a team that maybe you could think is a better Super Bowl winning team, but he already won his one with Brady. Like he'd just be chasing two, which I don't know how much that means to him. You get to stay home. You get to be a lifer for this team, play all the way through a Hall of Fame career and continue to put up 1,000-yard seasons and 8 touchdowns for 2 more years for this team. I really like it for Mike Evans. I mean, you get to stay home. You get to stay in that no income tax state. A lot of things that seem like, hey, if we can run it back here in Tampa, I'm pretty okay with it. I think this means that I know they're already working to try to get Baker back in the team as well. They're also trying to rework Antoine Winfield as well before the tag deadline, whenever you're hearing this, 4 p.m. today, Eastern, I believe. So I think they're going to be going to just the run it back mode in Tampa. We'll see what the leaving of Canales is to this offense, but good to see. I'm perfectly fine running it back with Baker and Mike Evans, though. And I know a lot of people wanted the upside swing of landing in a Buffalo, landing with KC. It probably wasn't going to happen anyway with where their caps are. So I'm perfectly fine with him just staying home and running it back.
I know this is the overreaction pod. We're supposed to like overreact to some crazy stuff. And like everyone talks about Buffalo and obviously Kansas City. And it's like, you want him to go get tied to some elite quarterback. Welcome to the fantasy reality is what this is about to be, because this is what you're seeing not only for free agency, you're about to see this in the NFL draft. It happens every year where the reality check hits. And this is exactly what was supposed to happen. Like Mike Evans should be a Tampa Bay lifer. He should finish his career there. They've treated him well. He loves the city. He loves the team. And like you said, when you got no, you know, state tax there for the state of Florida, that's hard to pass on to. But yep, $26 million a year for the next couple of years. Does sound like Baker Mayfield signing is pretty much imminent as a result. Like that's the whole goal, is to kind of bring back that offense and run it back. The South is very winnable. So this is definitely a division that has the every possibility to just be open for whoever. So don't mind this at all. Would love to see Mike Evans retire as a Tampa Bay Buck.
I still think it happens, but I'm not like guaranteeing that Baker's back. I'd only put that at like a 70% chance right now. There's some other teams that are around here that are, from everything that was coming out, there's other teams that have at least been inquiring. And it sounds like if they can hit a number that pulls Baker away, he would actually go away.
So some of the things that I was seeing today, and again, it's a rumor mill, but supposedly like Evans and Baker had a really good relationship and really connected. And like Evans signing back with Tampa Bay was under the assumption that he knew that the quarterback situation going forward. So I do think that Baker may, I mean, obviously anything can happen. Someone throws the bag at Mayfield and he has to change his mind. But I feel like from what I've been seeing out there in the world, that Mayfield is almost a lock to come back to Tampa as a result.
I wouldn't be surprised if by the time you're listening to this, we have news that the deal is done either.
So, you know. I wouldn't be shocked. Yeah. So anything is possible. Of course, it's the NFL. Contracts happen. Things happen. So that's obviously one big wide receiver off of the market. Still some holes on some of these other teams that we just mentioned. Speaking of holes, it seems like the quarterback hole is going to be one that needs to get figured out. Obviously, Baker Mayfield is still a free agent technically, but it sounds like Tampa is the tie. Another name that was brought up quite a bit here this weekend was Justin Fields. And this is one I kind of want to hammer in on a little bit, because the market for Fields is not what people thought it was. Coming into the combine, everyone was super excited about, okay, they're either drafting Caleb, or they're, you know, or they're in trading Fields, or they're keeping Fields and trading away that 101. Doesn't sound like there's much of a market for Fields, or at least at the price that the Bears are out there asking for. And I feel like the longer this process goes on, I mean, this right here, I think was a huge hit. Yeah, I think it was a huge hit to Fields, not only NFL future and his value, but to fantasy value as well. Just because now you're going to have these teams that are out here trying to fill the quarterback position. They saw all these quarterbacks this weekend and they still said, you know what? Justin Fields, we could take him. We could leave him. Right now, that it feels like they're willing to take a chance on anybody else other than Fields, especially if they have to give up draft capital to get him. So I am curious for you. How does this change things for you in fantasy going forward for Justin Fields? Do you still have the same sentiment you had where you thought fifth-year deal is a locked-in where he's getting 1 to 2 years?
Color me shocked, Chase. I can't believe that the interest is so much lower than everybody thought it would be. I thought he was going to get traded for the 108. You know, I thought that was going to come in as lock. No, I've been saying this. I've been saying it for the past couple. I've been saying this for months now. That he's much closer to a Trey Lance than people want to admit. And we're seeing it play out now once we get out of the combine. It seems like everybody's option three. If we can't get a rookie, if we can't get a vet, then we'll go to Justin Fields. And once we start seeing some of these free agencies opening next week, and if you don't see a Fields trade by mid next week, you don't see it just keeps dragging on and spots keep getting filled and filled. Either some team's going to have to be so desperate that they go into it, or he just might not be a starter. He just might not be a starter, at least locked into being a starter. And I know everybody's going to go crazy over it, but with every passing day that Justin Fields is not traded somewhere, it is more and more likely that he's Trey Lance.
And I feel like that's the whole sentiment here. Like, everyone was tying Fields to Pittsburgh, to Atlanta, to Minnesota, all these really good landing spots with good weapons in place where, like, Fields might have a chance to thrive. All those teams that I just named either aren't going to be looking at Justin Fields, or they're going to be looking for a vet presence to fill that spot, or a rookie, as you just mentioned. He is like the last option for these teams that truly have, I would say, pieces in place to potentially compete. Like, the Atlanta Falcons could be a competitive team if they got Kirk Cousins, who's now the betting favorite to go there. You know, if Minnesota misses out on Kirk Cousins, we'll get into some other names here of Russell Wilson, who has a huge advantage to him right now after being cut. So news, I think that's the whole thing with Fields, is his options are going to be so limited. Like, the teams that he's going to go to aren't going to be great. I don't think there's going to be any landing spots that you're going to look out there and just be like, oh yeah, this team's going to wait around. Or maybe there's a team that's willing to take the shot on Justin Fields over all of the other options available. I'm worried. I'm worried about Justin Fields' future. I think that he might have a chance to compete for a starting gig. But the other thing that's been talked about too is, who says Justin Fields and Caleb Williams don't just sit on the same team?
It'd be hard to do.
It'd
be hard to deal with both personalities and split locker room and everything. And I think that's why he has to go somewhere eventually.
Fair.
And if that happens, then what are the Bears even getting back in return? If they're just sitting there holding the bag, like, after draft day or something, or right before draft day, and they're just like, nobody's even calling anymore, we just, like, need him out of the building almost so we can restart and redo over. It'll be interesting, but I think after the media days are coming out, everybody's a lot more concerned, and I think there's a very legitimate reason to be concerned. And with each passing day, that concern rises and rises.
Exactly. I think that's the big thing, is this continuing every single day. Once you hit free agency, once the market fully opens up, that's when there's going to be some real problems for Justin Fields. But we can move on here to what's next. I mentioned, again, some other fun stuff, but Minnesota being an opening, and supposedly the rumors of Trey Lance being an option for Minnesota.
This one was a weird one. So it was one of the Rich Eisen's, like, top five rumor mill things that he was taking away from the combine of people talking around and saying that it would be a legitimate chance. as we're talking about the Justin Fields and Trey Lance comparisons, I mean, that's just a wild, wild thing that I think what I don't think there's hardly any truth to it. I think this is more just like speculation of, like, wouldn't it be crazy if type of conversations. Especially when he's going into last year there with the Dallas Cowboys as well. So you'd have to trade for him and then just have him on the 1 year rental in case. I know that there's some Trey Lance connections within that building, I believe. So I think that's kind of why you start to make that connection. But I think this one's much more rumor mill than it has any truth to it.
Yeah, I think just like the rumor of him getting traded from San Francisco to any team, of him being a starter at some point, and, you know, he's the backup in Dallas. It's just like, or the backup's backup is really what he was, a third stringer is what it felt like in Dallas. I don't see him going to be the starter.
Maybe, like, at that point, why wouldn't you just do Fields?
Exactly. Why would you give it a shot? Like,
unless he goes somewhere else first, and then you have to fill in the back end.
Exactly. I mean, it costs, all that kind of stuff comes into play. But I'm not really. I'm with you. Not taking that as anything credible at this point in time for Trey Lance, but into the more credible things. As I mentioned earlier, the betting favorite for Atlanta is Kirk Cousins, and Raheem Morris and his pressers leading into the combine talked a lot about, like, yeah, if it wasn't for the quarterback play, I probably wouldn't be here right now. Knock on the quarterback room, also saying, like, if the quarterback room wasn't as bad as it was, they probably would have won more games, coach wouldn't have got fired, all those fun things. So lots of ways to twist that, but it does seem like Atlanta is not going to have Desmond Ridder or Taylor Heinicke as their starting quarterback going forward. So Kirk Cousins is the leader in the clubhouse right now. If they can get that deal done, I mean, I'm here for it, dude.
And according to the Pro Football Talk report, very credible indications, quote unquote, that Cousins is on the move to Atlanta coming out last night. What does that mean? Then they said in the article, they also said, like, we can't actually discuss it, but very credible indications. Like, okay, I don't know how much I'm really taking away from this, but if there is anything, I would assume it's something like Kirk Cousins is looking at schools in Atlanta. There's also, his wife is from Atlanta. Her parents still live in Atlanta. So there's family connections that you can start to draw in there as well. Everybody knows they love, they've said through the quarterback series of how much they love Minnesota and how much they love being up there, but it wouldn't be that hard of a move. So I think if there's any truth to it, that's probably where we're going, if those are the very credible indications.
Yeah, agreed. And I do think that there is a market for Kirk Cousins. I know the dollar amount has been talked about a little bit as far as what his asking is for, I think it was $48 million per year for 2 years or something like that. People are a little shocked about that. I'm not too surprised at all. I think he's going to be worth every penny, no matter which team he does sign with. So he's, I think, the one I'm most interested in following. We'll get into another name here. I mean, honestly, let's just go with the big names. We'll kind of touch on some of the little guys here. I mentioned Russell Wilson getting cut. That it's officially official. As a Broncos fan, this one, I'm excited, but I'm also hurt in the worst way, in like 84 million ways. And there was that chart that showed he has like the three largest dead caps of, like, or three of the top seven dead caps over the next, you know, or in the history of the NFL in a single season. Like, it's absolutely insane.
It's a brutal one, and you're still paying draft picks, I believe, for him as well through that trade. It's a tough loss, but I think this was pretty imminent. Whatever you brought in Sean Payton, it felt like this was bound to happen, right? You hoped you could probably get the 2 years out of it, but reset it now and lean into the new Sean Payton era of the Denver Broncos and see what happens at the quarterback position. I'm actually very interested in picking up Jarrett Stidham almost everywhere. I think there's a decent shot that he starts a good amount of games this year in whatever way that is, because I don't know what they're doing. Nobody's been rumored in the veteran quarterback market to go there. I can share, me personally, I don't think Sean Payton and Justin Fields is a really big, don't think after the field processing is kind of what he wants, that's probably the best fit for a Sean Payton offense. So then they go with the rookie draft, but then they're a little bit too low unless they go high swing stakes on a J.J. McCarthy or a trade up into the top three for a Drake May. One of the wildest quarterback positions, but I'm very interested in, I'm picking up, he should be rostered everywhere, and Jarrett Stidham probably should have been rostered everywhere beforehand anyway.
This team just feels like it's teetering right now, just like flirting with a fine line, because it is true. Like, when you're eating this much dead cap, you either got to take a rookie because of the cap situation, or you have to pay a cheap vet on kind of a temporary deal. You know, there's some rental QBs out there. The one that has ties to this team is Jameis Winston, and him being a potential fit just because he hasn't had the starting gig, he could be a good one to go in there. I don't know that Jarrett Stidham necessarily. I've had him in some places, held him for a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be the guy. I feel like there's going to be true competition. It's not going to just be Jarrett Stidham rolling out there. So whether that's a Ryan Tannehill, if he can't get a spot that kind of fits, just kind of vet presence, locker room guy, rental. and just try and wait it out till next year? Do they actually make a move? I mean, JJ McCarthy's been one that's been tied to the Denver Broncos. They've been tied to trading up as well. I don't love any of it. I mean, it's just I just have a pit in my stomach this whole offseason. As a fan, I'm like, I just feels like we're just flirting with disaster, or maybe something, you know, you drive through the cloud of smoke and just like, oh, we came out the other side okay.
That just famous scary. Sam Darnold, Gardner Minshew, maybe you do that Mac Jones trade for a seventh. Yeah. Get Zach Wilson in there as the reclamation project.
Stop it. Don't. If Zach Wilson goes to the Denver Broncos, I will stop being a fan. I will stop being a fan of the Denver Broncos. I just can't. I cannot have Zach Wilson on my roster. Just can't do it. Fantasy or real life. Just can't have any Zach Wilson.
We'll move on to decrease Chase's blood pressure here.
Well, hold on. Before we move on, the one thing I just wanted to note with Russell Wilson, because he did get cut, even though it's a post one designation, he's actually eligible to sign with teams immediately. He does not have to Correct. Wait for free agency. So that it is kind of an advantage for him to be a free agent right now. And I guess it comes down to market, right? We're going to learn a bit about what Russell Wilson's market is. Immediately. And I don't know if it's maybe Minnesota. We talked about if they miss out on Kirk Cousins, Steelers, there's been, you know, talk of, I think the Patriots have been brought up. Like there's been talk of Russell Wilson being tied to teams. Whether or not that's true, we are going to find out over the next week. If there's some actual serious interest, if Russ's play and his agent play this the right way, they should probably find their landing spot sooner than later. They may have to wait for the Kirk Cousins domino to fall, but really, who else is there? I mean, is there anyone else that truly, I mean, I said New England, but they have a top three pick, but like, is there really anyone else besides Atlanta, Minnesota that really would make sense for Russ, in your opinion?
Raiders, probably another one that I threw up there.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is also going to be another one that's kind of tossed around, but that one seems like they're going to do some disgusting things in that room as well. Probably just re-roll. So, yeah it's a lot of just, I mean, honestly, could you see I don't know what the contract would look like, but the Vikings can't pay the quarterback. And if you're going to pay Justin Jefferson, I know people wouldn't be too excited about it, but he's going to get a vet min contract, right? So that the Denver Broncos actually have to pay all of it. And the team that he goes to doesn't have to pay anything.
Yeah. That would be the kind of catch there is, you know, again, Minnesota moves on from Kirk or misses out on Kirk, Atlanta, vice versa. It just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of true options that would make sense for Russell Wilson at this point in his career, or for organizational standpoint, like who wants to bring in a 34, 35 year old quarterback after what just happened in Denver. And I think this last year is better. But still, yeah, we'll kind of check that market. All right, moving on here. What do you want to chat about next?
Let's go to the Cowboys being all in this year from Jerry Jones back from the Senior Bowl days. If we remember that one, that you're going to be surprised at what the Cowboys do by the contracts and who we're bringing in, what we're doing. We're going to be all in this year. And there is now the new rumor that does not mean we're going to go out and bring in a Derrick Henry. We're not going to go out and sign what would have been Mike Evans on the top of the wide receiver market contract. What it really means is we're going to eat all of Dak's cap this year. He's not going to get extended. Mike McCarthy's on his last year. And y'all better be all in and win this year. Otherwise, we're tearing this thing down to the ground.
It's such a scare tactic. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's got to fight for their job. Y'all got to earn your spot. And I'm with it when it comes to McCarthy. I think that they might just be eating this for Dak. I would be absolutely shocked if Dak Prescott is not the quarterback of the future for the Dallas Cowboys, even if he doesn't get his extension. I feel like there's going to be behind the scenes stuff. Yeah, he's not going to get extended. I don't think Dak really cares either. I feel like he knows he's going to get paid no matter what. But I do feel like the Cowboys get this done. Give me a 1%. I'll give you like a 1% chance that Dak leaves. Do you really think that they're just going to let Dak leave?
I think there's a good chance he hits free agency.
Oh man,
they've already played the game with him, and it cost him the last time. And that was whenever Dak had that fantastic year, and he had a really good year last year too. But it's coming to a point of like, hey, something needs to organizationally change. And if you're going to look to start resetting everything and Mike McCarthy's going to be gone and they want to just tear down, it's hard to start tearing. It's hard to start doing that rebuild process whenever you're paying a quarterback 60, 70 million next year, whenever we go to extend this guy.
Yeah.
And you're just going to keep pushing this money out and pushing the money out. If you don't do it, or if you do do it this year, now you're stuck with him for another 3-4 years, potentially with dead cap money already. I could actually see him just hitting free agency next year. And if you do well, we'll bring you back and we'll deal with the contract then.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. Definitely possible. I mean, Dak seemed confident when he was asked about it today, saying that it's going to happen. You know, feels like, you know, it's a process, whatever, you know, whatever his exact wording was. But yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones just plays that character. I just think he's playing the media, having some fun with it, playing the contract game with the agent, and it's going to get done. You're going to roll out Trey Lance. Cooper Rush, we're going to bring him in. And I just don't see that they're going to find themselves a better quarterback, but they've done it before. They did it with Romo. I could see him doing it again.
He's going to be here this year, obviously, but we'll just figure out the quarterback next year. We'll know what it's going to be.
Yep. That's fair. All right. Last quick little notes when it comes to kind of some free agent tidbits, obviously Flacco and Brisket, your guy. Talk of them potentially, you know, signing on somewhere with some rookies. I know New England was the one that you kind of noted and kind of talked about here. Talk to me about your boys.
It's been so long since I've been able to talk about my boy Brisket that I'm glad I can put him back on a show doc. But yes, there was a talk today, Adam Schefter, whenever he was on Pat McAfee's show, talking about what would really make sense for them. They were basically the team that everybody was like, we're not really sure that they're going to take quarterback. They felt like the team that could go just taking Marvin Harrison. They could trade out. They seem to be, from all the news and notes from around the combine, the team that was least guaranteed to be taking a quarterback within that top three. And what they could do instead, if they just want to try to, hey, we've got a lot of other pieces, we can do the trade back, bring in a veteran bridge guy to just get us through a couple of years here. The two names that were mentioned were Joe Flacco and Jacoby Brissett. If you look at the connections to it, their new offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, has already worked with both of them. They're going to implement that system. They're going to come in cheap. The Patriots have tons of money. I think they're up to $100 million of cap space that they can spend this year and actually start to build the rest of this team up around it. It's scary to not pick a quarterback in the top three, top five, when, you know, everybody's going to say whenever you're there, you take the quarterback because you don't know when you're going to be back. But the Patriots do things differently. It's a new era. It's a new organization. And they've got a lot of stuff that they need to fix on that team. Bring in a rookie quarterback. We've seen how it's worked without the weapons so far. And obviously they can go out and buy weapons, but you just took one of the best wide receivers off the market too. Is bringing in Gabe Davis as your big free yeah. agency hit and then missing on another second round wide receiver. Is that really your plan to really build around this quarterback of the future along with every other hole that you still have here? So it was just a really interesting thought process that I hadn't really gone through of like, some of these guys could be starters. And even if they do take a quarterback, if they were to take like a Drake May, a McCarthy, they could be the veteran starter for a good couple of weeks here to start the season. So just a nice little pairing that I hadn't really thought of yet with those two, Flacco and Brisket.
You want to know what? I think I need to go hit up Bobbert Kraft, go hit up old Bob and just say, hey man, you want to know how we play Dynasty? You're going to go sign both Flacco and Brisket.
Yes.
Take that $100 million, go invest it, trade back in the draft, accumulate some more capital and go trade for some players. Like let's go build something. Let's build around Flacco and Brissett. No, I'm kidding. Of course. Definitely don't do that. That is not sound advice. This, you know, please do not listen to that. But hey, they're going to have jobs. We talked about it all last year and leading into this offseason. There's a lot of solid backup quarterback names. We've seen, 60 quarterbacks play year over year. So these guys are probably going to start. I don't know if Flacco is going to sign right away. He might be another one that just kind of stays as a free agent, kind of a, you know, an assassin, get called in to do the dirty work when the time comes, if it comes. And but Brissett seems like a guy who's just team guy. He could be in the locker room. I could see him being there week one, whether there's a rookie or there's an opportunity. So I definitely like both of those. Good call out there for that kind of match with Van Pelt.
And just going into the backup quarterbacks real quick, because we have seen the shift of like what we've talked about with Dynasty. Scott's been talking about it a lot in lineup strategies of rostering all of the backup quarterbacks. One of the other things that, again, this is more just NFL, but I think it'll start to play out a little bit more in Dynasty as well, where we see this backup quarterback strategy take a little bit more of a place. A lot of people have said, what's the largest impact of this 13% cap increase of this? What are we up to? $255 million now for the cap on a year, 13% increase. And everybody's answer to where that money goes is it's backup quarterbacks. Everybody saw the success the teams had with the backup quarterbacks and how teams like the Bengals, even though they actually found something pretty nice with Browning, your season was just over, it felt like, whenever that happened. And so they're saying a lot of that money, a lot of that increase is actually just going to go into the backup quarterback market.
Going to be interesting. I mean, there's barely 32 starting quarterbacks that people actually want to put it on the field. So, yeah. But again, if you know the system, you're a good fit. You can operate the offense. That's what matters more than anything. There's not a lot of film on you, not a lot to kind of break down. But yeah, going to be very, very fun offseason. What we have, tag day as you're listening to this today. So we have the franchise tag deadline today as you're listening. We have free agent. Oh, it's not free agency. Sorry. We have the legal tampering period with my air quotes starting next week. So free agency free agency officially starts and then ends also that same week, because as soon as actual free agency hits, we have all of the tampering news. I'm really, really excited for the next few weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. We mentioned tag day today. What we have, how many names? We have six or seven names already essentially saying they're going to be tagged tomorrow.
Yeah, today. I think we already had Higgins confirmed, and then Pittman's really the other fantasy relevant one that we're really looking forward to yet.
Yeah, the rest of a lot of defense, Needman, Burns, Allen, Josh Allen. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Pittman, Higgins, as far as fantasy relevance goes, doesn't really change anything for me. Pittman, I want to stay in Indy, and T. Higgins, do you think they're gonna keep him?
They'll explore. Like, I think if they could pull a first and draft re-roll on any of these guys, they'd do it. But I don't know if from what everybody's saying, like, they're not going to get a first because the class is so deep. Like, why wouldn't you just take the rookie contract instead of trading your premium capital asset for what's potentially a one-for-one wash? And people are going to say, you know, you did that with AJ Brown.
I was just going to say that. Like, let's go ask Traylon how
that's works. That's a little bit of a different level of wide receiver of AJ Brown versus T. Higgins. You know, could he take that jump? I guess, but we haven't really seen that ever come to fruition for T. So I don't think it gets done just because I don't think the return that they're getting is going to be there. But I think it'll be floated for sure all the way up to the draft.
Yep. No, that sounds about right. I mean, that's pretty much it for tags. Anything else of note before we wrap out of here? Any other free agency things that you're looking out for? Any players to kind of note, situations you're keeping an eye on?
Keep an eye on this, the Gabe Davis types. People hate them, and they're going to get paid a lot more than you think they're going to get paid. The wide receiver pool is pretty depleted. And if you aren't able to get one of these high-value guys in the draft, these teams are going to be in a world of hurt to start paying some of these guys, and you're going to see them make a lot more money. Remember when we were all surprised about what Christian Kirk got paid? Hasn't going to come to fruition for fantasy points, no, but some of these guys are going to actually get into pretty good situations, I think, and fill in roles like the Patriots, like the depleted Panthers, and they're going to be thrust into roles. So I wouldn't be so dismissive of a lot of these seemingly replacement level wide receivers. Obviously, lineup's a little bit different than best ball, and we're probably a little bit more into them on the best ball side of things. But even lineup, I still have pretty good interest in guys like Gabe Davis, because I think they'll make a lot more money than people give credit for. And you'll see the narratives of follow the money, money follows targets, and targets follows fantasy points. So I think you could hold on to a couple of those guys and potentially see a value bump. So just throw some darts out there at the wide receivers yet, even if they are outside of that threshold range. That'd be the last dynasty relevant thing that I really have.
I mean, I just want to, thinking of trade windows here, because obviously we have a trade window right now with the combine, with the pick values being adjusted, people getting super excited about this class. Free agency is going to be a time where the actual player market, you have sell windows. You know, you mentioned Gabe Davis as an instance. He goes and signs somewhere where there's maybe not a clear number one. You can type yourself up or tell yourself a story to get you excited about it. it's a sell window. Like when these guys land in situations, maybe get that big Monday. It is absolute money. It's absolutely a sell window or sell opportunity for you to explore to see if someone else is buying into some of this hype. So every league's going to be different. Everyone that you play with is going to be different, which is why it's always key to know who you are in leagues with. Obviously, I know a lot of people in the Heisman community aren't going to be out there just smashing the next Gabe Davis deal if he gets an Alan Lazard contract. But, you know, there's going to be some big names out there. There's going to be some names out there that get contracts that we didn't expect. And what does that translate for? So
Darnell Mooney, Kendrick Bourne, Noah Brown, KJ Osborne, Odell Beckham is rumored to already be back in Baltimore already, basically. Tyler Boyd, Ooh. Curtis Samuel, Hollywood still at the top. Calvin Ridley, it sounds like he probably is going back to Jacksonville. But yeah, a lot of names that sound very gross, but they're going to get some money in the free agent market.
Yep, and for those that aren't tapped in and you know don't know what's going on, if anyone out there thinks that Christian Kirk is going to be the wide receiver one in Jacksonville next year, go ahead and sell on that. You go try and capitalize on that Christian Kirk. He may be the number one on the team, but they are planning to bring Calvin Ridley back if you did not know. Just something with a contract. They have to let him hit free agency in order to bring him back so that they don't lose a second-round pick. It's a third-round pick instead. So, fun little tidbit there for the Calvin Ridley.
I'm still questionable on that one, man. Like, I know that everybody, I feel like they had to put something in the back end of the contract that just we might not know about, but I don't know. That one's a different story. We'll see whenever it happens. It just does not make sense for me. That's the logical path for that one to happen.
But. Right, like you can't extend. You can't extend them, but if you want, you have to let them hit free agency. I guess, you know, at that point, Ridley has the choice to do whatever he wants, but it sounds like it's right. A mutual thing right now. But yeah. I think that's pretty much it. Again, patreon.com/allgas. Make sure you are part of the Heisman or the Destination 5 communities if you have the ability to. Again, best place to transform your game for fantasy football purposes. This is the time of year to do it. Draft season, free agency. This is really where the theory, where you're really thinking ahead to 2024 already, how the game is about to change and evolve. And this is where you can evolve as a dynasty player. It's truly going to change your entire perspective in a short period of time if you are tapped in. So patreon.com/allgas, Destination 5 or Heisman tier, destinationdevy.com. Make sure you chap in there. Everything going on the YouTube channel. You had a blast on the combine. We're going to have the draft day extravaganza coming up here in just over a month and a half. And so, yeah, a lot of great things coming out from DD. Obviously, Scott and Ray doing their Monday or their Sunday and Wednesday shows now. Everything's happening. Tap in here. Anything else you want to add to that list?
We got more content than you should be able to watch in a week coming out or get through in a week coming out. So just to tap into everything and we'll be around here and we'll be here all the way through the season and the next season. We got a long time, but fun, probably my most fun time of honestly any part of the, at least the dynasty just news period.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And appreciate everyone out there listening that's made it through another 50-minute episode. I know we are a little long-winded at times, but hey, we have a blast doing this. We appreciate all of your support, tapping into listening to us week in and week out. Can't thank you guys enough for your support. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Overreaction Podcast.